Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Roger Weiss and Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Derek Kramer producing. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Beautiful Saturday morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Good morning, DK.
Oh, man, what a weekend last week for the Williamsville East softball team. Holy cow. So, Rod, you're going to get into that a little bit later on.
Nationally ranked, man. That's top. I think they might have just squeezed into the top 10.
I had
nationally.
Heard number 9 the last
I heard number 9. It depends on where you go. There's USA Today and there's Max Preps out there.
Number 9?
Yeah, then number one is 9. One, I guess, would they would be in the 9th rank. The other one, 11th rank. So we'll call them top 10.
Yeah, it's good enough for me. I like it. So congratulations to them. In fact, the Williamsville East girls softball team will be the state champions. We'll be in studio next week, and we will help celebrate their state championship.
Yeah, I might have been able to get them this week, but the trouble is I know there's a tournament at I can't say Pepsi Center anymore, right? It's the Northtown Center? All right. I won't say Pepsi Center because that would be wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong. Who's on first?
Didn't you miss me last week? Seriously. You must have missed me. No, but in theory, the pitcher on the state championship team, if she wants to, can play in a 16 and under tournament, if you could believe that. So maybe that's why they didn't come in this week. But they're all available next week. I believe next week the tournament there would be the Open. Okay. So you're talking, Anthony, people your age could play in that tournament if they so desired.
Hey, I played center field a couple weeks ago in practice.
I used to.
Still have some speed left in these legs.
I had two positions they always put me in.
Concession
left,
stand?
No, left out and left right out.
Yeah. Well, I imagine with a lot of baseball players and softball players, you go right from your high school team to your travel team if you do play summer sports. I would assume most of them
Yeah,
do.
Once school gets out, you're free to travel all around the country.
That's why, I can recall, oh my God, I can't believe it was 5 years, 5 years since Will North won the state softball. We had Julian some of her girls in here, and that was like the second Saturday in August, and before we could get them in here and get all the girls in. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I remember that, it's the same day as my high school alumni picnic, and I had my Kensington on, which is green and gold colors, and she says, "Why are you wearing Will North colors?" And the thing, that's the only reason I remember
that.
It. But yeah, that was between one tournament and another, and I mean, there's tournaments in Pittsburgh. They're all over. It's not just local tournaments already. They went right from the, high school interscholastic competition to travel, and I mean serious travel. We're not just talking house leagues and all that. We're talking literally travel teams going
right
out of state.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm so glad my son doesn't play travel. We did have a game, Raj. It was one of we scored 7 runs on no hits in the first inning. Nikki walked 3 times. Shout out to Ty Manjone, who had a grand slam at the end of the game. As soon as the ball hit his bat, I knew it was out of the park. So congratulations, Ty. Job well done.
So you're saying, as Joe Garagiola used to say, it would be out of every park but Yellowstone?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was one of those deals where we had to tell the kids by the 3rd inning, all right, no more stealing. Stay on your base. You don't want to make it so that the other team's not having fun either. So I'd like for both teams to have fun. All right, guys. Man, it's hard to believe the school year is over. And before we get to news and notes, it's something that it's been kind of a tradition on this program. Oh, I want to say back to 2002, I believe. And it's something that has always reminded me of my childhood growing up. Last day of school at PS 81, walking over to school and coming home and turning on the radio. And within minutes, you would always hear this song pop up. And it just was the best way to start the summer vacation. Let's hear a little bit of Alice Cooper there. Congratulations, class 2019. The best way to start the summer off, and that's Alice Cooper, School's Out. Bringing me back to my youth, and always figured, man, this is a great way to start summer. Listening to Alice Cooper, the lyrics in that song are absolutely phenomenal. Great tune. All right, guys, let's get into news and notes. As I said, congratulations to the class 2019. School may not be out. You still have college to go. So good luck to you guys. I don't know if you know about this, but the Wilson-Lakeman Women's Basketball Camp is going to take place Monday, July 1st through Wednesday, July 3rd. It's only $50 a kid this year. Brian's broken it down into two courses. You've got your second through seventh graders. That's going to be from 8 to 11 a.m. Then your 8th through 11th graders are 12 to 3. So they're going to Camps are going to focus on teaching fundamentals of basketball. The daily programs will be comprised of instructions, drills, team competitions. The camp will strive to help each player improve his or her game. A lot of, in fact, if you go to our Facebook page, Inside High School Sports, there's a form that Brian posted. You could fill that out if you are interested. And, you know, this is the time of the year. A lot of camps and clinics going on. Kids getting ready for football, hockey, basketball, things like that. If you have a camp or a clinic and you would like to promote it, we are going to take calls a little bit later on in the program, 803-0550. We'd like to hear about your camps or clinics. These are important. You know, if you have a kid that's looking to further his or her sports career, obviously camps and clinics are a huge help in to achieve that goal. If your child is, I'm just happy being out there, maybe camps and clinics aren't so important. So we'll get into that a little bit.
Well, especially in the case of this camp, you know, Brian and his program in Wilson are successful every year. They're always the top one or two teams in the, you know, Niagara Orleans League. And then when they come to the basketball playoffs in late February and early March, they compete against the rest of the people in what? I guess that would be Class C or possibly B, too.
C, yeah.
Always a threat. I think last couple of years, well, not this past year, but before that, the one year I think they won C1. I can't.
They're always competing
back
for...
and forth, but they're always competing. They always make an appearance at Buff State.
Yeah, so I mean they're important, and obviously it's helped the Wilson Lake women program. So again, if you have a camp or clinic that you would like to promote, 803-0550. Kenmore West High School has announced their Athletic Hall of Fame. Pretty diverse class here. These individuals will be inducted at a ceremony on Friday, October 18th. Let's see. We have Marissa Dressel, 2010 swimming. Tara Kiebrick, 1997 field hockey, basketball, outdoor track and field. Brandon Lathrop, you probably remember that name, Raj, 2012 football, wrestling, outdoor track. Jenna Panapinto, 2012 soccer, basketball, outdoor track. Lexi Panapinto, 2012 soccer, basketball, outdoor track. Santa Maria Brothers, Bernie, 1962, Paul, 1965, and Rob, 1968. Football, track, gymnastics. Phyllis Seva, 1976 soccer, volleyball, basketball, and softball. Bill Tepes, 1970. Football and baseball. John Theobald, 1948, football, basketball, baseball. Jennifer Wilcox, 1990, volleyball, basketball, softball. So congratulations to those. Let's see, coaches, Judy Strybich, 1973 to 1990, in volleyball, soccer, tennis, and softball.
Could you repeat that, Tony? I missed part of it.
Here you go. Help yourself. Francis.
All right, we got some breaking news from last night. Christian Veilleux has decided to leave Canisius. He, of course, was their starting quarterback last year. He will be attending the Bullis School, I believe is a prep school in Potomac, Maryland. And he's also going to be reclassifying to be the class of 2021. So that is a big loss for Canisius, but they have a couple of quarterbacks coming up the pipeline. It'll be between Gabe Fisher, who will be a junior, and then Tyler Baker, who is the nephew of who we just talked about, Brian Baker, will be competing for that starting job at Canisius.
Oh, open competition. Pretty good. Let's see. We got the, thanks to Pete Schneider for sending this one in, the Monsignor Martin Baseball All-Catholic Team. And by the way, we are going to have Tom Prince on in the next coming weeks to discuss his all-baseball team. We have Alex Billette, a senior St. Mary's pitcher of the year. Matthew Rafe, senior, Nichols, co-player of the year. Sam Murphy, junior, St. Joe's, he's a co-player of the year. Jack Arnold, senior, Canisius. Christian Cabrera, sophomore, Canisius. Will Carlone, senior, St. Joe's, Tyler Coy, senior, Canisius, Alexander Dismian, junior, St. Francis, Jeremy Glinski, senior, Bishop Tymon, Michael Hartman, senior, St. Francis, Sean Hayes, senior, Bishop Tymon, Cole Laskowski, senior, St. Mary's, Connor McKendry, senior, St. Joe's, Chris Nino, junior, St. Mary's, Brady O'Brien, senior, St. Mary's, Christopher Rowan, junior, Canisius, Trent Rumley, sophomore, St. Mary's, Grayson Schaefer, senior, Canisius, Elliot Widener, junior, St. Joe's. Then the second team, all Catholic, David Belsido, junior, St. Francis, Patrick Berziak, sophomore, Nichols, Vincent Copalupo, a senior, St. Joe's, Nicholas DiCarlo, sophomore, St. Joe's, R. Hitchens Edwards IV, senior, St. Francis, Mitchell Flocare, junior, St. Joe's, Kane Gregory, senior, St. Francis, William Hearn, senior, St. Joe's, Michael Hellig, junior, St. Francis, Tyler Curl, a junior, St. Mary's, Benjamin Lewis, a senior at Canisius, Cole Marjoram, senior at Canisius, Patrick McCann, senior, St. Joe's, Manny McLean, sophomore, Tymon, Cole Murray, senior, St. Mary's, Luke Zablowski, junior, St. Mary's, Brandon Tome, sophomore, St. Mary's, and Kevin Wojcinski, senior, Cardinal O'Hara.
In the old country, we say Wojcinski.
Wojcinski, there you go.
Quickly, Anthony, I just want to mention for you girls that are going into your senior or junior or sophomore, freshman year for that matter, there's still a chance for you to try out for the girls basketball BCANY team that if you're available August 2nd through 4th, it'll be played in Binghamton. They have four practices. You had to make two. Well, they only have two left. It would be Tuesday night at End Trip and Thursday night at Sacred Heart Academy on Main Street in Snyder, I guess you would call it. 6 to 8 at End Trip. 7 to 9 at End Trip, 6 to 8 at Sacred Heart. If you're interested in trying out and you haven't been to either practice, you must make both. 2 out of 4 are required. They've already had 2. Should you decide, bring reversible pullovers for the scrimmaging. Once again, Tuesday night, 7 to 9 at End Trip. Thursday night, 6 to 8 at Sacred Heart. And as always, Nate, great job. Ron Stepien, Brian Baker. I believe Nick O'Neill will be involved with the team as well this year. So we're hoping for a good turnout. If half the girls we have show up at these things, we could put a really competitive team down there to play with anybody in the state.
Speaking of Sacred Heart, I almost missed this. Sibian Ryan, standout Siobhan, basketball player.
Siobhan
Ryan. She announced she will be going to the University of Richmond to continue her academic and athletic career.
Oh, cool.
She's going into her senior year at Sacred Heart, so she's got another year.
Nice. Oh, I love hearing about kids that are going on to the bigger schools, or even the local schools, but just continuing your education. Good stuff. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Roger is going to recap last weekend's amazing run for Williamsville East. So we'll talk about that and more. Again, if you have a sports camp or clinic, you want to call in 803-0550. We'll be back after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. Tony, Roger, and Francis hanging out, talking high school sports like we do each and every Saturday morning for the past 18 years. Been a long time, Rog.
Yeah, hey, and I'm on my 16th year with you, Anthony.
Wow, time flies. It really does. All right, you had the pleasure last week of attending and witnessing Williamsville East winning their championship. They've two games, and you were able to catch them both. Tell us about them.
Well, I guess my most anxious moment, the first game started at 9 o'clock. My most anxious moment happened actually between, I don't know, 8:15 and 8:45, because as of that time, Will East hadn't arrived at the park yet. And all I could think of was, oh, no. You know, they went and they made separate buses. One bus took Eden team and half of the Will East team down on Friday.
Right.
Second bus picked up the senior girls from Will East after the prom.
Yeah, that was at 12:30. They went to post-prom at midnight, stayed there for a half hour, and then took a bus all the way over to, where was it, South Glen Falls?
South Glen Falls, Moreau Park.
Yeah.
And
so you're basically talking about very little sleep.
Yes.
Well, it's tough to sleep on a bus.
Rachel Steffen says she figures she had 4 hours. Wow. I mean, I don't know how.
They were running on pure adrenaline, I think.
Yeah, but how can you just get done with the prom and you're anticipating playing in a state semifinal. How the hell could you possibly sleep?
Yes, I can't figure that out.
That was a thing. So now, like I say, it's getting around. It's 8:30. I can't think of the name of the team. Walter Peñas, I believe, is the team they beat in the semifinals. They're already finishing up their warm-up. Well, then all of a sudden, here comes as they finally walked in, the whole team. And, in fact, I looked at Rachel Steffen and says, gee, are you okay? It looks like you haven't got much sleep. But they were wound up. They were ready. First game, top of the first inning, two outs. Rachel hits one over the right center field fence, 1-0. And then their cleanup hitter, Ella
Wozakowski, it's one of those W Polish names.
Yes, it begins with W and ends in SKI. There's a few of them on that team, so I don't have it in front of me. She hits one back-to-back home runs, 2-0, with Summer Clark, 1-0. Things are looking good, 2-0. Good luck to the opponents. Summer only faced 22 batters. You figure the minimum is 21.
Mm-hmm.
The one girl got a hit. It was a seeing eye hit right down the left field line. I don't know how close to this line because I was screened by the dugout, but that was the only flaw in that first game. Fast forward to the second game. She was obviously getting tired.
Well, first of all, in the first game, because Francis was keeping us updated while we were doing the show, and it was like, okay, they're in cruise control right now. We were kind of giggling in between the breaks, like, okay, we got this one. Let's see how we do. So,
Was it the sixth inning when Ella hit the three-run homer?
Yeah, there was a three-run homer, and then there was this other run that I could not for the life of me figure out where it came from. I couldn't figure out where the sixth one came from.
There might have been an unearned run or something like that. But it was for the 5-0. They were all bona fide. And, of course, with Summer Clark pitching, once they had the 2-0 lead in the top of the first, I'm counting the outs. Okay, 1 down, 20 to go, 2 down, 19 to go, and all that. Like I say, Tony, I think she got tired in the second game.
How's that?
Well, in the first game, she struck out 11. In the second game, she only struck out 9, and she gave up 2 hits instead of 1.
Drop off. What a huge drop off.
You can see it was probably catching up to her.
Yeah.
Okay, so like I say, everything's good. Now we go to game 2. Oh, and they had the start of the championship game was delayed over an hour because the team they played in the final, it took them 20 innings to win the game.
Wow.
And they beat a previously unbeaten team, too. It was kind of an upset.
I guess they probably had second thoughts. This was the year they decided not to have a international tiebreaker after 9 innings. I don't know if you're familiar with the international tiebreaker. They start with a runner on, after 9 innings. In the 10th inning, whoever made the last out in the 9th inning starts out at second base. And now, having said that, I don't know if that would have made any difference in there. The pitching was good. But the other ironic thing about Boston Spa, who won the 20-inning game, they were down 1-0, home run in the bottom of the 7th to tie it.
Whoa.
And then they go on.
Some
like,
dramatics.
Yeah. And like I say, even the team that lost the semifinals, they played the equivalent of three games because it was 20 innings.
Wow.
So actually, Boston Spa played the equivalent of four games. But, okay, now, we fast forward to game two. Like I said, an hour and a quarter later than the scheduled starting time. And, okay, after one inning, scoreless. After two innings, scoreless. After three innings, scoreless. After four innings, scoreless. And now I'm starting to get paranoid because all I could think of was 2 years ago, they lost the final game 1-0. And I'm sure you might recall I told you that that year, I think half a dozen games down there at between the semis and the final score was 1-0 because DePue also lost the championship game 1-0 that year. And like I say, especially with the Will East team 2 years ago, if you told me they would have only given up one run, I would have bet the house they would win the state championship. So like I say, fourth inning, nothing. Oh, no, it's deja vu all over again. You know, are they going to somehow skip a run and the bats go silent? Well, Christy Mack took care of that in the bottom of the fifth. She led off with a home run. And then Maddie Miske, in her final at-bat in her senior year, right after Christy Mack, she hits her first ever career home run.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Talk about it.
That's
how about
awesome.
Saving the best for last?
What a memory.
Now they're up 2-0. And with only two innings left, Summer, you know, is pretty golden. As long as the team behind her doesn't give the other team four outs, it was over, you know. I was ready to call up and say start planning the parade and all that. And so what a great feeling. But then I think they got another run. It was 3-0.
I think it was Ella again who hit the homer in the last inning.
No, I don't think Ella. Yeah, I think you're right. Ella might have hit a home run. I don't know. She had two home runs in the first game. I'm starting to blank now, you know, but it was just what a great feeling and all that. The parents, they were having a good old time.
Well, I would imagine.
It was just so good to be a part of. And right away, they weren't, as it turned out, there wasn't supposed to be a game on that diamond afterwards. But with all the shuffling because of the fact that one game went 20 innings and moved all the scheduling, just threw it right out the window and all that, they dumped ice on or tried to dump ice on Chris Doerr. Well, unfortunately, they did the pitcher's mound, so the ground crew wasn't too happy when they had to get the diamond ready for the next game. But
man,
they're young. They'll get over it. But, what a great feeling.
Roger, if I remember right, I've read that, I guess, in the 2017 game, the kind of the game-winning hit went towards Christy Mack in the infield. It would have been a tough play, but it went towards her?
Well, yeah, it was in the hole between short and third, and wow, I cannot remember. Was it the fact that she couldn't try for the force out at third because the ball being in the hole, the third baseman actually went after it as well, so there was no one to cover. And even Christy, as talented as she was, that would have been...
It would have been a tough
the
play.
The throw
but
of the century to throw the batter out at first base, you know, from deep in the hole at shortstop and all that. So,
but for her to still get that game-winning homer after what happened 2 years
couldn't
ago.
Couldn't happen to a nicer person. She worked so hard. Well, what a talented team. Christy Mack, as good as she is, she bats sixth.
Well, you were last week you were reading some of the averages. I don't know if this, that on the air or during the
yeah,
break.
That was on the air. We had 10 players, I think, batting over 400, something like that. And it was like absolutely nuts. Clark had like a 0.46 ERA going into the weekend.
Oh, the stats are just
when
crazy.
When she's on, not only can she off-speed pitch and, you know, it's not strictly heat. She throws all these other pitches, and then when she does come across decides to just throw a fastball on that. Number one, it's in a great location. And number two, they got the batter thinking about all these other pitches. And she has a knack for having when they're thinking heat, and all of a sudden she could throw a changeup without telegraphing it. A lot of girls throw a changeup. You can tell so early in their windup it's going to be a changeup. You can actually account for it. Not with her. Boy, how she does that. That is a talent. And now, they lose seven seniors, six of which I believe are either starters or flex players. But
that's going to be tough to replace.
Yeah, but they still have Summer, who's only going to be a junior. They still have Ella, the catcher, the cleanup hitter, and Abby Stelrak, the second baseman. Now, I'm going to assume that's first, third, and fourth in the batting order, because Summer bats fifth this year. Ella bats fourth, so one of them is going to move up to third, and the other one would either be at fourth or stay at fourth. Be pretty hard not to get one or two runs just out of those three in a game, and that's all that Summer Clark needs.
That's amazing. What an amazing talent.
To show you how talented that team is, Carla Leone, senior pitcher, going to UB to play softball. She's 1A. She was not number one pitcher. Summer was. She was 1A. That's how talented that was. And like I say, it shows Max Preps got them either top 10 or right on the cusp.
They're 9
top
for
10.
Max Preps. No, they're number 12 for USA Today.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, and undefeated. Any softball team, even how many of the teams that are above them were undefeated? A lot of them, though, that are above them were not undefeated. They've had at least one loss. So that shows you how it's just a special team. And hats off to Chris Doerr.
Sure.
He's taken teams now in three sports to the state finals and
I
all
read
that.
That blew my mind away.
Yeah. What, basketball, soccer, and now softball, and he finally has a state championship in his resume.
He's obviously doing something right at Williamsville East. And,
yeah, maybe. I guess he's doing okay.
They're lucky to have him, and, for sure.
And I went there, I think it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock that night. I went over to Williamsville East. There was a whole crowd. It was pouring, raining. There was a whole crowd there as the team bus got escorted by, I believe, a police car and a couple of fire trucks as they came in, and the whole parking lot was just ecstatic.
That's neat. I love when they do that. Greet the team with the championship team with the, you know, people going crazy.
Fire trucks
and
police cars leading them back to the school from what, Lowe's, I guess it was, on transit?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Kudos to them. Congratulations.
And I was so happy to be a part of it, Anthony. I was so just elated.
And don't forget, next week they will be in studio, including Summer. She will be here. And we'll talk to them, pick their brains as to what they were thinking about. Especially, I want to know about that ride to the game on virtually no sleep.
Well, she wouldn't know. She would have been on the first bus.
Oh, she's the first bus.
She's only a sophomore.
Rachel and
Chrissy. Most of the girls, four of the girls that are coming in, went to the prom. like I say, also congratulations to the Clark family in general. The two older sisters played on the 2014 Will South state championship team.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Keeping it in the family. Nice job. All right, when we come back from the break, I do want to hear a little bit about the Eden game and get us caught up on that. If you have a camper clinic that you'd like to promote, 803-0550. I'd like to hear about that. We try to do our best to post them on the Inside High School Sports Facebook page. You can go there to check that out. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports after this. Back, one last segment of Inside High School Sports. Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Well, Williamsville East wasn't the only team playing in the state semifinals. Eden was as well, but things didn't go as well for Eden as they did Will East.
No, congratulations to our buddy Markell. He was down there covering Oneida, who was the team that knocked off Eden in the state semis. 5-0, I don't think, is indicative of the way the game went. It was closer than the score would indicate. The fifth run was a token unearned run where I think it was the bottom of the sixth. It was just a lackadaisical play, and they ended up with one extra run. But assuming the score would have been 4-0, the Eden Lady Raiders squandered three scoring chances. Left runners in scoring position, less than one out, and could not bring them home. So their pitcher, when the Oneida pitcher in the clutch, did the job. And it wasn't like she was throwing miserable heat and all that. She was throwing, you know, off-speed pitches that just had the, you know, Eden girls, you know,
baffled enough
on the, back of their heels, right, and all that. What can we say? That's they only have two seniors, Peyton Bosinski and Maddie Woodard. Congratulations on great careers. Sorry at the end, but hey, like I told the girls after the game, Marissa let me speak at the post game talk and all that. I says, there's probably 100 to 150 teams out there that would trade places with you. At that stage of the game, there's no losers. There's only winners and runners-up. And
they keep their heads high. They had a great
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. And Marissa emphasized that. She says, look, if you guys played this team 10 times, you'd probably lose 5 and win 5. Again, it's just the scoring chances were there, and they couldn't capitalize. And on the bright side, other than Maggie and Peyton, who I alluded to, they got everybody coming back. And like I told you, the last few weeks that I was here, between the section championship and the crossover and the Far West Regionals, they're seventh and eighth batters in the batting order, just as productive as the top four in the batting order. So they are going to be reckoned with. Anything less than a return to the state semis next year, I'm sure will be a big disappointment. They got two really good pitchers. They got a half a dozen really good hitters. I expect big things. Hopefully this was a prep. And, again, congratulations to Coach Lexi Naska, AD, Marissa Falcaro, and all the Lady Raider players. I just adore all of them, Anthony, and it was a pleasure to be a part of them this season, as well as with the Willie's Lady Flames.
Congratulations, obviously, on a great year. Keep it positive. Work harder for next year. As we said, we were looking for camps and info on camps and clinics. If you have one, please call in at 803-0550 if you'd like to pass it on. Kenmore Rugby is promoting rugby camps and clinic July 15th and 18th, boys and girls middle school camps, 8:30 to 12:30. Girls high school clinic, 1:30 to 3:30. Boys high school clinic, 4:30 to 6 p.m. You can sign up at www.rakavii.com/events. That's www.rakavii.com/events. And that, if you had any kind of interest in rugby, this might be a great way for you to find out. Even if you just go to watch, just to get an idea of what it's like, maybe it's something that will suit you. And hey, yeah, and this is open to boys and girls, by the way, so check that out. It's also, information is also on our Inside High School Sports Facebook page. So pretty good stuff there. And we're working on doing some more stuff on rugby this summer, promote the sport. It's a fast-growing sport. A lot of kids are really taking to it and liking it. So we'll do our best to promote it. If there's any kind of way that we can help the sport, we absolutely would love to. Same with lacrosse. We do whatever we can to pass information on to our listeners. That's something that we enjoy doing on the program.
All right. So I was doing some research last night, and from the football season, not to change subject too much, but we had, if you didn't know, Aaron Jolicata's passing TD records in a season was broken. Aaron Chase tied it in week 9 of Star Point with 36. And then Cole Snyder of Southwestern, who's now going to Rutgers for to be a quarterback, broke it with his 37th TD at the stadium. So big year then. And then Jake Ritz from St. Francis. Keep in mind, he's only a sophomore. First game of the season, he breaks the school record for passing yards in a game with 485. And then he goes on, he sets the Western New York single season passing record with over 3,300 yards. He also threw for 36 TDs this season.
You know, it's amazing how the evolution of the passing game in high school. When we started this program, pretty much everybody were run-first type of offenses. Now we're seeing multiple receivers out, empty backfield. We're seeing hurry up, read options, all this stuff. The evolution has been amazing, and a lot of that has to do with the summer passing camps that the teams
seven
get involved.
Seven on sevens.
What a great way that is to work your offense and improve your communication one between your receiver and your skill players. Get that timing down. It's been fantastic.
But the thing that's amazing, Francis, and I'm thinking about that as you're rattling that off. Okay, Aaron Chase and Cole Snyder, they break the records, but before they have a chance to even get their names published as holding the records in next year's program and yearbook, somebody else breaks it, so their names might not even make that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an amazing year for quarterbacks. We talked about it. Tom was talking about all year the quarterback. And it was kind of this weird thing where it was kind of Riegerman and Dolek, more runners, kind of stole the show. And I could go on an hour, but I spent like a good 45 minutes just kind of going through in my head the football season. It was just, an amazing season, a lot of big names. And we graduated. I think next year is going to be rebuilding year because we graduated a lot of talented kids who were three-year starters, Aaron Waller, Keyshawn Beal, guys, household names. So I think, I don't know about you, Roger, I think it's going to be a bit of a rebuilding year in terms of stars in Section 6.
But there's always somebody that's going to step up.
Yeah, we're going to be surprised by somebody, but we're going to find out about kids who are going to be the next Aaron Waller, next Keyshawn Beal. But we saw a lot of big names graduate this year, and I hope people don't forget that some of the how special it was, how much talent, or the depth of talent, I should say, we had.
Well, this is the time of year that those players are going to improve, the ones that are going to make that jump. They're going to work hard at the camps and clinics. I know Cardinal O'Hara has a football camp coming up. A lot of the schools do it. St. Joe's usually does. I think Canisius does.
Yeah, they have their lineman camp this weekend. I've heard it's been going pretty well.
So, I mean, this is such a great way for kids to improve and get better, not to mention who's in the weight room, who's working hard in the off season, who's running. This is the kind of stuff that sets it up. And then you get that kid that comes out of nowhere that, he might have been a JV player last year, and it makes that big leap to varsity and does extremely well. So, it all depends on when they develop as a person and as an athlete. It just, something happens, the light switch is flipped, and they're ready to go, and it just take it to another level. So we see that every year, and I know we'll see that this year. The question is, who is it going to be? For what team is it going to come from? Those are the interesting things, and we'll get into all of that as we get closer to the fall when we do our football previews. We have the Kensington Lions All-Star Game coming up the last Wednesday of July.
So it'll be the 31st this year. Everything's late this year because of the calendar.
Right. So, we'll find out. We'll get a lot of those answers, and then we'll get into previewing the season.
Yeah, opening day, this will be one of the first years in quite a while that the opening Friday night is after Labor Day, so all the kids are already at school, whereas most of the years, where the way the calendar works out, they actually play their first game before they enroll in school for the school year.
Yep. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to DK. Thanks to you guys for listening. Have a great weekend. School's out for the summer. We'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.